Last year was named the year Sunday. And so if you were here, you heard that I was preaching and sharing the word that the Lord put on my heart for 2023, believing that this would be a year of unparalleled praise. I'll talk about that a little bit more. But before I do, I mean, really the focus of my message last week was not on this word that the Lord gave me, but it was an encouragement for you to go get your own word from the Lord. And to spend some time seeking God and hearing from Him and just believing that the Lord can and does speak to His children. And I had a couple meetings this week where I asked, I said, did you get a word? Did you hear something from the Lord? And I had two people this week who got a word from the Lord. If you're here and you have received a word from the Lord this week, can you raise your hand? If you were seeking God, hands in the air, if you heard something from the Lord, just some direction for the year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13... 14 people. Praise the Lord. See, that excites me. That excites me. Because my whole idea behind, and it wasn't my idea, the Lord really placed it on my heart, that rather than me trying to be like Moses coming down from the mountain with my word from the Lord for the church, I'd rather bring you up on the mountain with me and encourage you. You can hear from God. I pray you keep coming back and you enjoy your time here, and I pray that the Lord blesses you through my sermons and what the Lord puts on my heart. But isn't it so much better when you know you can just hear from the Lord yourself? You don't have to sit around Monday afternoon and go, I got to wait 6 more days to hear from Pastor. You can just plug right in and hear from the Lord yourself. Praise God. So I'm excited about that. So this word for the year, unparalleled praise, what's on my heart is that we as a church family would experience and walk in a level of praise that we've never walked in before. And when we gather, that our praise would be explosive in the room. And that when we praise, things would happen. And you know what one of those things would be that I was praying over? That people would get words of knowledge. We could pray for people. And that's already happened today. I believe that as we come into this place, people who come filled with anxiety and worry and depression and suicidal thoughts will come in, and there will be such an atmosphere of praise in this place that a smile will grow on their face because of joy that's in their heart. I've been trying to figure out if I could bottle praise. What I would do is I go up onto the top into our HVAC unit, and I would pour praise into the rooftop furnace. So that when we turn on the heat or the air conditioning, it would just fill the atmosphere. And there'd just be praise all around. I believe that that's what the Lord's going to do in this place. And not just in this place, but as you go about your daily lives. That you and I, we would become a people of praise. And people are going to start to get irritated with us because we're just so happy all the time. And we're just praising the Lord for every good thing that happens. And we're not congratulating ourselves or others, but we're saying praise be to God. Because He is the one who has done great things. And I really want you to just join your faith with me in this, because Book of Hebrews talks about how Jesus the Messiah came first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, correct? And yet, how sad is it that the Book of Hebrews says that so many Jews did not benefit from the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world who came to save first them. So many Jews in that time and today do not benefit from Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And the Book of Hebrews says, here's why. Because they did not mix their faith with what they heard. They heard the gospel. They heard about the cross. They heard about Jesus the Messiah. But they didn't mix their faith with it. And so this word for the year, I'm asking, would you mix your faith with this word and believe that this is going to be a good year where we walk in His goodness and grace. So unparalleled praise. I'm going to read this every week until you've practically got it memorized. Unparalleled, what does it mean? Having no equal or match. Unique in kind or quality. Exceptional, incomparable, matchless, unrivaled, and insurpassable. There's nothing like it. And praise, what does praise mean? To glorify. To express approval and great value. And I believe that God is worthy of our approval and showing great value in Him. And that our praise will have no match. It'll be like nothing else. That the quality of our worship, and listen to me, I'm not talking to the praise team. This isn't a departmental word for the praise team and for the singers and for the musicians. No, this is a word for the church. That the quality of our praise in terms of our affection for the Lord. I'm not necessarily saying that you're going to sing in perfect melody and harmony. If the Lord wants to do that, we say praise Jesus. But what I'm talking about is the affection of our hearts would be filled with praise. And so our theme verse is Exodus 15:2, which I'll read for you. 15:2, it's really fitting because we've been spending a lot of time in Exodus. And so this is Moses just on the other side of the Red Sea. They've walked through on dry ground. They turn back and they've seen all the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. And they're free from 400 years of slavery. And this is what Moses does. He sings a song. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. So I want to make a couple observations here, and then we'll turn to our text for today. First of all, let me say this. Not only is God the recipient of our praise, but he's the source of our praise. Not only do we give our praise to him, but he's the one who actually enables us to praise him in the first place. The Lord is my strength and my song. We don't just sing songs to the Lord. The Lord is our song. He is. He's the one who inspires the musicians and the songwriters and the singers, and he inspires us as we lift our voices. We don't just sing to him. He is our song. And then he says this in the end, Moses, I will praise him. Turn to the person beside you and say, I will praise him. I will praise him. This is a decision. This is a choice. Some of you have done this practice before where you put the emphasis on different parts of the sentence. We're going to try this together. So we're going to say this, I will praise him. I will praise him. We're going to put the emphasis on the first word. Okay, ready? I will praise him. Second word, ready? I will praise him. Third word, ready? I will praise him. And the last one, here we go. I will praise him. And every time you say that sentence, that emphasizing a different word, it brings a new perspective, doesn't it? It's not just you praising him, it's me. I will praise him. And I will praise him means it's a choice. And I will praise him, focusing on what we're doing, and so on and so forth. And so the title of my message this morning is Choosing to Praise. Choosing to praise. I will praise him. It's a choice. Praise should be a natural response to a wonderful experience. But did you know you don't need to wait for a wonderful experience to praise him? It's a choice. You can make a choice to praise the Lord. And I want us to begin our year by making a quality decision. I'm going to praise the Lord this year. So if you have your Bibles, open with me to Genesis. First book, 29th chapter. And we're going to focus in on the story of a girl named Leah. And Leah's not the main character of the story. She's a supporting actress, if you will. She's one of the background characters. Secondary character, but I want to focus on her story and I believe the most amazing legacy that she leaves. I find it encouraging to search through the scriptures, and every time you meet someone, to ask the question, what did God teach them and what can I learn from them? You can do it from any. You can do it from Judas. What can I learn from Judas? Any character in the Bible, to go, what was their story, and focus in on them. I want us to focus in on Leah. And so if you don't know Leah, I'll first introduce you to her husband, a man named Jacob. If you don't know Jacob, you might know his father, Isaac. If you don't know Isaac, you might know his father, Abraham. Okay, so here's the context. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob is the one to meet and bring Leah into this story. And so Jacob's father, Isaac, he sends him out on a journey in order to find a good wife. This is what every mom and dad does at a certain point, right? Once your child reaches a certain age, you send them out into the world and say, go, find a good one and make me a grandfather or make me a grandmother, right? This is what Jacob does. He sends him out. He says, go to the house of Laban and find a good wife. And so Jacob goes there and he meets one of Laban's daughters. Her name is not Leah. Her name is Rachel. So it's the typical story, right? Boy meets girl at the well. The girl's there with her sheep. The boy helps the girl with the sheep. You know the story, right? You can relate to that. Maybe a different context, but so Jacob goes to the well and he helps open up the well and helps Rachel get some water for her sheep. And we don't even get any kind of a conversation between the two of them. Doesn't say that they talked. Literally, the first thing that we read that happens between Jacob and Rachel is he kisses her. Genesis 29:11. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept out loud. How many of you would say that's a pretty dramatic way to start a relationship? Just walks up to you and kisses you and then starts crying. How many of you would never forget that guy, right? Just, oh, right. And I am and you are. And so Rachel invites Jacob back to her father's house. So it must have been a great kiss. And she was able to overlook the crying afterwards, okay? So Jacob meets her father Laban, offers to stay and help around the property. So that's where we're going to pick up the story. Genesis 29, verse 14, we can read. And Laban said to Jacob, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Okay, so here we're meeting Leah. She's a background character. Verse 17, Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you," speaking to Laban, "7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, but they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Oh my goodness, what romance is that? Ladies, this is not some fantasy novel here. This is the Bible. If anyone ever says that there's no romantic man on planet Earth, say, "I know a guy named Jacob. And he worked for seven." Is that not beautiful? 7 years. Oh, but it seemed like just a few days. I love that it's Jacob's idea to work for 7 years, by the way. Did you notice that? Laban says, "Well, what should you give me? I mean, I would have started with 1 year, right?" 7 years. You would have been worth it, dear. But I'm just saying, Jacob didn't know how to negotiate. 7 years. And so if you know the story, you know that after that 7 years comes to fruition, Laban throws a wedding for him and his daughter that was supposed to be Rachel, but before they go to bed that night, it's Leah. And we're not given any context as to why it was that Jacob was not aware of the fact that this was the wrong girl. So gentlemen, just take note. Pay attention enough on your wedding night to just know that it's the right person in the room. Could I have my water? I forgot to bring up my water here. I'm going to need it after that comment. Okay. So, we don't give any insight as to why Jacob didn't realize this. All we get is this, verse 25. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And in the morning, behold. Now that one word, behold, has a whole lot of baggage. Can you imagine that moment? I really hope you can't imagine that moment. In the morning, behold, who are you and what are you doing here? Now the purpose of my message is not to talk about how this could have happened, and the Bible doesn't even take the time to explain how it could have happened, but it did happen. And I just want to make an observation here that it's rather poetic that it happened. You say, "Why would this be poetic, Pastor Tim?" Well, do you know Jacob's backstory? Do you know what his name means? Deceiver. He was deceiving and manipulating, and he was cunning and crafty, much like someone else we know called the devil, throughout much of his life. We talk about the God, worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but did you know it was supposed to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau? Jacob was the younger of the two, and yet he, through deception, purchased his brother's birthright. And so, listen, I'm not saying I'm glad that this happened to Jacob. He worked for 7 years. I wish that this was a happy ending and he got his beautiful bride, Rachel, at the end of 7 years. But I will say this. You know what this is called? You reap what you sow. If you want to live a life of deception and lies and manipulating other people, you will reap a harvest of deception and lies in your own life. And so Jacob was walking in the fruit of his own sin through this deception, that he himself, the deceiver, was deceived. I think that's incredibly poetic. And so when he talks to Laban, Laban says, listen, it wouldn't have been right for you to marry my younger daughter, Rachel. That's not our custom. The oldest has to be married first. And so that's why I deceived you in this way. But if you work for me for another 7 years, it'll only feel like a few days. I promise. If you work with me for another 7 years, then you can marry Rachel as well. Let me just pause for a moment and acknowledge that there's some really weird stuff that happens in the Bible. Wouldn't you say? Really weird stuff. Marrying two people. Oh, and they're sisters. Yeah, that can't be awkward. This is strange. This is not right. This is not normal. Whenever I find things that are really strange and not normal in Scripture, I just choose to be encouraged, because sometimes when I look around at the world and I look at people and I look around, I think that things aren't very normal either. You ever left a family get together and you get in the car and you're talking with your spouse and you're like, those people are weird. And they're in my family. Like, we're kind of weird. And did you hear about what aunt this and uncle, and did you know that this and that and that? Woo-woo. Come on, aren't all of us a little bit weird and have some strangeness in us? And aren't you glad that the Lord uses strange, weird people? Amen. So now we've set the stage, and let's read our main text here. Verse 31. Here it is. So now, sorry, he's worked another 7 years. He's married Rachel, so now he's got Rachel and Leah are his brides. Verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And then she ceased bearing. And we're not going to keep reading, but if you want, you can keep on reading later for yourself. And what you find is this competition that essentially, for lack of a better word, there's this competition between Leah and Rachel for the affection of Jacob. And I mean, come on, your sister is married to one man. There would be some competition in the house. And so they're continually trying to bear children for Jacob in order to get his favor and love and attention. And so here we see this happening with Leah. But it doesn't just happen with Leah and Rachel. They have servants. So Leah would go on later, if you keep on reading in chapter 30, to give her servant Zilpah to sleep with Jacob to bear children on her behalf. Rachel would give her servant Bilhah to sleep with Jacob to bear children on her behalf. And so now there's four ladies involved in this little friendly, not so friendly competition. Like, this is just about, have you ever watched a soap opera? Like, is not this the stuff of Days of Our Lives? Have you ever wondered where soap operas get their ideas from for their scripts? I'm not saying they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, but if you read the Bible, you'd go, we should do that in season three. I mean, that's just, this is weird stuff that's going on here. Four women involved in sleeping with one man. Wow. Wow. You say, Pastor Tim, how do you know anything about Days of Our Lives? Well, quick story. I was homeschooled. This has nothing to do with my sermon, but you'll enjoy. I was homeschooled for 1 year when I was in grade 4. And so my older brother and I, he was in grade 6, I was in grade 4. And my mom would give us a bunch of work to do, and I'm not going to make eye contact with her in this moment. And she would give us some work to do. And then she'd go upstairs to work out on her fast track. Anybody remember the fast track from the 90s? Hot piece of machine. None of you worked out in the 90s? Okay, good to know. This thing was as loud as a train going through your house, okay? So when mom was doing that upstairs, we knew where she was. And so what did we do? We turned on the TV. And what's on the TV during the day if you're homeschooled? Nothing. Days of Our Lives. So it started because we were bored and we didn't want to do our schoolwork, but things got interesting real quick. And so we watched Days of Our Lives for a season there. And we always knew when mom was done because the train would leave the house and then we'd turn the TV off and go back to our work. And but hey, there's hope for everyone because look how I turned out, right, mom? Hey, there was no internet. There was no Netflix streaming. We could have gotten a lot more trouble. Days of Our Lives was not that bad of a trouble back in the 90s. And so, that was for free. Anyways, if you're hearing this story and you're reading through this and you're thinking, this is real strange, this is real strange. It is, but it really happened. So let me walk you through Leah's four babies and pull out what I believe the Lord wants to lay before us today. Verse 31 again. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb and Rachel was born. I want you to think about the immense pain that Leah would have felt. Just try to imagine being Leah. You're married to a man who never wanted to marry you. He doesn't love you. He loves your sister. Now, if you're two ladies married to one man, or for that matter, two men married to one woman, you could imagine the amount of mental energy you would put towards comparing yourself to the other partner in the relationship, right? You would compare yourself all the time. Now, imagine knowing that your husband, that your spouse, likes the other one more than you. Can you imagine the baggage and the hurt and the trauma of being Leah? I hope that you can. I hope that you can. And so when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Can I encourage you today, if you are brokenhearted, lonely, sad, depressed, struggling, frustrated, can I encourage you that the Lord sees you? When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. You know, scriptures say that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he draws near to those who are crushed in spirit, Psalm 48. Jesus, whenever he saw people, he would have compassion on them. He would heal them because he had compassion on them. I believe that's what this is here. The Lord looked upon Leah and his heart was for her. And so he decided to bless her. Can I encourage you today that God blesses those who are struggling? God blesses those who are suffering because he's a faithful, good God. And so Leah conceives, and their first baby is a boy, and she names him Reuben. And all throughout the Bible, we're often told why names are given. Names always have meanings. And so we're told that, you know, babies are named based upon a significant time in their lives or in their history or based on their emotions when that baby was born. And so Leah names her first baby Reuben. She named him Reuben, verse 32, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, and for now my husband will love me. So if you look at the footnote, we talked about this last week, always read the footnotes in your Bible. It says that Reuben in Hebrew sounds like see a son. And so Leah, as she was holding Reuben in her arms, you can just picture her presenting this baby to her husband, saying, see, I've given you a son. And based upon this, she believed, for now, my husband will love me. If I will give my husband a son, he'll love me. And so Reuben was his name for that reason. The battle goes on throughout the whole story. Leah and then later Rachel's servants and Rachel herself conceived children for Jacob. And it's all about winning the love and affection of Jacob. Verse 33, another baby comes. She conceives again. She bears a son and says, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he will give me this son also. So she named him Simeon. So Simeon in Hebrew sounds like heard. So she conceives again and she says, the Lord has heard me. The Lord has seen my pain. He has heard my cries of despair in my marriage. And so he has given me this son. And maybe now, just like with Reuben, maybe now my husband will love me. But does Reuben's heart change towards Leah? Or sorry, Jacob. Does Jacob's heart change towards Leah with Reuben? No. Does it work with Simeon? No. So she tries again. Verse 34. Again, she conceives and bears a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him three sons, three times a charm." Therefore, his name was called Levi. And the word Levi in Hebrew sounds like attached. Attached. Maybe now he'll be attached to me. He'll be close to me. The wording is actually like a waistband around, like the way that your pants are attached to you, right? So I'm going to name him Levi. Anybody heard of Levi's jeans? Seriously. They're attached to you. Maybe now that I've given my son, my husband, three sons, maybe now he'll be attached to me. Maybe now he'll have affection for me. Maybe now we'll have true intimacy and love and passion and faithfulness. And maybe now that I have given him three sons, he will finally love me. It may not have happened with Reuben. It may not have happened with Simeon. But with Levi, now this time it's going to work. And let me just pause here to commend Leah for her faith. In case you're wondering, this is what faith looks like. You pray, it doesn't happen. You know what you do? Pray again. This is a beautiful picture of faithfulness and prayer and believing. No, didn't. Okay, it didn't happen yet. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to believe God again. It's like the persistent widow who just kept coming and coming and coming to the wicked judge, right? And finally, the judge just said, "Give the lady what she wants. She's driving me crazy." Right? Jesus tells that parable and says, is not your Father in heaven a righteous, good judge? And he'll answer you when you call. So I just want to honor Leah for her persistence. She's a persistent woman. Maybe this time, maybe this time, maybe this time. The only problem was that her persistence was placed in the wrong person. Her affection was placed in the wrong person. She was seeking approval from the wrong person. But then Leah had a breakthrough. Verse 35. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. And she ceased bearing. Now she ceased in this season. If you keep reading, she ends up bearing Issachar and a few others. Zebulun and Dina. She bears seven children altogether. No, six. One, two, three, four, five. Six, seven, I can count. Seven children. She has these first three, doesn't work. And upon having the fourth child, I think Leah got a breakthrough. And she realized, this time, I'm not doing this for the affection of Jacob. This time I'm going to praise the Lord. See, how much time do we put in our lives seeking the affection of others? Like me. Love me. Respect me. How much time do we spend trying to get other people to like us? How much time do we think, I wonder what they're thinking about me right now? I wonder what they're thinking about. What are they thinking? What are they thinking about me? What are they thinking about me? Can I tell you? They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about them. They're thinking, what are you thinking about them? You're both thinking the same thing. How much time do we spend investing and longing for the attention and affection of people when we should be looking for the affection and the attention of our Almighty God in heaven? I think Leah got a breakthrough, and I think we can get a breakthrough this morning. Here was her breakthrough. Here was her breakthrough. I don't need to seek the affection of man. I already have the affection of my Heavenly Father. I don't need to seek the affection of man. I already have the affection of my Heavenly Father. This was Leah's breakthrough. Watch the progress. Baby number one, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction. This is what she said. Reuben, okay? Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, now my husband will love me. Here's what I believe happened in the heart and mind of Leah. I believe that now when she looked at Reuben, this is what she said. Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, I know that the Lord loves me. I'm not living my life looking for the affection of others. Now listen to me, listen to me. Is it unreasonable to long for the affection of your spouse? It's not a trick question. No! If you don't long for the affection of your spouse, something is wrong with you. Please schedule an appointment with a counselor. Or come call me. It's a natural longing and desire, but the primary longing and desire of your heart should be for Jesus, not your spouse. Don't look for someone to complete you. They'll mess you up. Oh, I'm just looking for my other half. Oh, I'm just looking for Mr. Perfect, Mrs. Perfect. Ain't no such thing. And if you look for fulfillment in other people, you will get your heart broken. You will get frustrated. You will get bitter. You will start to hold unforgiveness. But if you live your life knowing that other people will let you down, but Jesus never did, you'll be happy, 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 happy. I don't need the affection of others. I already have the affection of my Heavenly Father. So she looks at Reuben and she says, the Lord has seen me because he knew that I was hated, but I'm not hated by him. I'm loved by him. This is what she says with Simeon. The Lord saw that I was hated by who? By Jacob. So now I believe every time she looked at Simeon, she said, I know that the Lord has seen that I've been hated by Jacob, but I'm not hated by my Heavenly Father. Did you know that no matter what your life looks like, you have a God who loves you? No matter what. Whether you pay attention to him or not, whether you even serve him. If you're not saved, if you've never given your life to the Lord, God loves you. God loves you. Now, you won't walk in his blessings and in his faithfulness and in his promises unless you surrender your life to him, but he loves you. He loves you so much, he will let you choose him or choose yourself. I've heard it said like this, God loves you so much, he will let you go to hell if you want to. He respects your choice. Remember, we're making a choice to praise, choose to praise. So when she sees Levi now, where she had formerly said the Lord himself, where she had looked at Levi and said, now my husband will be attached to me. I believe that she would look at Levi and say, the Lord is attached to me. The Lord is the one who is close to me. The Lord is the one that I have fellowship with and closeness with. What a privilege, isn't it, to have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? To be the temple of the Holy Spirit, to know I'm attached to Jesus and he's attached to me. He can't get away with me. He must love my company. He's with me all the time. And I'm with him all the time. The Lord himself is attached to me. And so when baby number 4 comes, Leah calls him Judah. Judah means praise. And she says, things are going to be different now. This time, I'm going to praise the Lord. I messed up in the past. Anybody messed up in the past? I messed up in the past, but this time things are going to be different. I'm going to praise the Lord. I want to declare to you, no matter what these last years have looked like, 2023, things are going to be different. Things are going to be different. You say, Pastor Tim, how could you know that? I don't. I'm making a decision. Things are going to be different. In my heart and in my mind, I'm going to praise Jesus more this year. And so let me say this, even if this year there's as many struggles and challenges and crummy things that happens to you this year as last year, and I'm not prophesying, I'm hypothesizing. Even if this year is just as challenging as last year, I believe this year will be better for you if you make a decision to praise the Lord. Even if this year is worse, you say, Pastor, please stop talking. If this year is worse and there is more suffering and more pain and more loss, I believe this is going to be a better year for you because you're going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise him. No matter what comes in my life this year, I'm going to praise him. If you feed your soul praise, praise will come out. So you make a decision. I'm going to praise the Lord today. I'm going to praise the Lord, no matter what comes. 112th Psalm says, the righteous man isn't afraid of bad news. Don't be afraid of bad news. If you're afraid of bad news, you're not praising. Praise until the fear leaves the room. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Here's what I want to close with saying. All of us are already praising. The question is, what is the object or the person or the thing that you are praising? I'm not proposing that this year you should start something new. I'm just telling you to reprioritize. You're already praising something. Some of you are lost like Leah, and you're praising your marriage. And you're praising your family. And can I tell you, in 2023, in our culture right now, at large, we have a real problem. People are praising their children. I think kids have become an idol. Where parents just, their whole entire lives, everything is, honestly, it's worshiping their children. We'll just do anything for you, anything you want, anything for you, anything for your success, anything for your thriving, anything for you. Don't misunderstand me. As parents, you have a responsibility to steward your children and raise them in the Lord and care for them and love them, yes and amen. But they're not God. God is God. So I'm not proposing you do something new. Praise is something that you're already doing. What are you praising? You say, Pastor Tim, how do I know what I'm praising? What are you thinking about? Where are your affections? Is it on relationships? Is it on stuff? What do you think about? When the room gets quiet, what do you think about? The next movie that's coming out? The coffee table you're saving up for? The vacation? Seriously, this is a question to ask yourself. When the room gets quiet, what do you think about? That's probably something that you're praising. And here's my goal for myself this year. When the room goes quiet, I want to be praising Jesus. When there's no pianist on the piano, when there's nobody leading the prayer, when there's no preacher preaching, I want the quietness of my soul to be praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to imagine sitting here 12 months from now, looking back at 2023, and I want you to imagine what it would be like to look back at a year and to say, I praise Jesus in 2023 in a way I had never praised him before. I thought I knew how to praise, but I found a new way to praise him. I found a new way. And I believe we're going to see many, 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 many breakthroughs, healings, family restorations this year. Not because we're using praise as a trick to get from God, but because when we're consumed with praise for him, he's going to follow through with amazing blessings and transformations. And to be able to sit and look back at our year and say, praise wasn't something I did. Praise was a person that I became. I became a person of praise. I'm a person of praise. I don't do a spiritual activity called praise. I don't go to a place where we have praise services. I am a person of praise. I praise Jesus. I praise Jesus. Would you stand to your feet this morning and let me pray over us? And would you just close your eyes and hold your hands out with your palms towards the heavens? There's something about getting your body in a posture that just helps you. And so just place your hands out, and I just want to believe that the Lord is going to release a spirit of praise into your heart this morning. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. For every person standing in this place today, every one of our kids and grandkids in Kids Church this morning, our family, Lord, I thank you. Lord, that your word and your will is for us to be a people of praise. So, Father, today we make a decision. This year, this time, we will praise you. We will praise you. We'll praise you in the sanctuary. We'll praise you in the office. We'll praise you in the car. We'll praise you in the kitchen, everywhere that we go. God, make us a people of praise. And Lord, may you be glorified through every season that we are walking into this year ahead. Lord, we praise you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just sing this with me one more time? You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. One more time. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things,
deserve the glory.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.